We've said in previous episodes of this show that WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange is probably the best known and most important whistleblower in the world. We speak about him and the legal case against him in the United States frequently. Well, it appears that after nearly 15 years, there may be some light at the end of the tunnel. I'm John Kiriakou. Welcome to The Whistleblowers. Julian Assange is a hero to many people around the world, but he has been a thorn in the side of Washington policymakers for years. Three successive American presidents have had to deal with Assange, with WikiLeaks, and with the fallout from WikiLeaks disclosures. There have been different strategies. First, it was clear that the United States wanted to stop Assange sooner rather than later. There was an attempt to have him arrested, for example, on sexual assault charges in Sweden. And Assange's fear was that even though the charges were false, he could then be extradited to the United States. He sought refuge in the Ecuadorian embassy in London, where he was granted asylum, at least for a period. But then the CIA worked with the Ecuadorian government to bug the embassy for audio and video. They spied on Assange and on every visitor he ever had, and they eventually convinced the Ecuadorians to expel him. The pace picked up significantly in 2017, when WikiLeaks published the CIA's Vault 7 documents. These were some of the most sensitive spying methods that the CIA ever developed. Almost immediately, the Trump administration and the Department of Justice filed espionage charges against Assange, and then CIA Director Michael Pompeo told the media that WikiLeaks was a hostile, non-state intelligence service. Soon after that, word leaked out from the CIA that it had discussed plans to either kidnap or assassinate Assange in London. And the Justice Department asked the British government to extradite him to the United States to stand trial. He faces 175 years in prison. Donald Trump was only president for 4 years, and in 2021, Joe Biden took over at the White House. Many observers believed a deal could be negotiated that would see Assange go free. After all, the Obama administration had elected to not charge Assange with a crime. It would be reasonable to think Obama's concerns about prosecuting Assange while protecting the First Amendment to the Constitution would be Biden's concerns. But that hasn't been the case. And Julian Assange's struggle to avoid extradition to the United States now appears to be almost over. We're joined by Joe Loria. He's the editor-in-chief of Consortium News, founded by the late Robert Perry. And he's a former journalist for the Boston Globe, the Wall Street Journal, and the Sunday Times of London. Joe, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, John, for having me on again.
Joe, I'm going to cut right to the chase here. Many of us were very, very surprised that British judges ruled that Julian has a right to appeal his extradition, but we still don't know what that end will look like. Julian could still end up going on trial for his life here in the United States. He can come to some sort of a plea agreement with the Justice Department. But even that could amount to a prison sentence or a sentence of time served, followed by probably expulsion to Australia. Or his extradition could be denied, and he could then be expelled to Australia. What do you think we're looking at here? Is this all about the Justice Department saving face at this point, or is the government really interested in imprisoning Julian Assange and putting WikiLeaks out of business?
I think parts of government are really interested in imprisoning Julian Assange and putting WikiLeaks out of business, and that part in particular is the agency that you used to work for, John. I think that the CIA is intent on getting him imprisoned. I think they've been a driving force from the time of Pompeo. Of course, when he headed the agency, his first speech when he became director was about WikiLeaks and Julian Assange, because they had just revealed the Vault 7, the largest leak of CIA materials. They were not classified materials, these hacking tools. Apparently, you can't put online hacking tools that are classified. But it was an enormous embarrassment to the CIA. And they wanted their pound of flesh. And I still think that they do at the age. I don't know, of course, for sure. But something is still driving this Biden prosecution of Julian Assange. And I think the CIA and the DNC, which also suffered an embarrassment by the leaks of their emails, are behind it. So can they get him now is the question. After all these arguments, after all the 9 grounds of appeal, after all the things that have been rejected by these British courts, the high court, first the district judge at the lowest level who released him on health grounds and condition of U.S. prisons, she agreed with everything about everything else, all the political parts of this case, and even excused the CIA spying on him and his conversation with his lawyers, and even talking about poisoning him, which was already known at the point at in January and September 2020, 4 years ago, before the Yahoo story came out, which detailed even greater what Pompeo CIA wanted to do to Julian Assange. So they want him. Can they get him? What's left is this First Amendment issue. The British law required, which is based on the European Convention on Human Rights, requires that someone being extradited must be able to have a guarantee of freedom of speech in his defense. And the U.S. cannot guarantee that. And that's why we're looking at a real appeal now that's going to happen sometime down the road this year, maybe early next year. That's the victory that Julian got on Monday. He's going to be allowed to appeal. Of course, he's still in jail. And Biden wins in the short term because he's not coming to Alexandria, Virginia, in chains during a presidential campaign.
This was Donald Trump's case against Julian Assange, Joe. Barack Obama famously said that the case posed what he called a New York Times problem. And so his administration didn't charge Julian with a crime, but Donald Trump did. I think that just about everybody expected Joe Biden to walk away from this case when he became president, but he didn't. He doubled down. Why is that? Was this call actually made by the CIA and the rest of the intelligence community?
Joe Biden, in December of 2010, this was around the time of the major releases by WikiLeaks, on Meet the Press, this is Vice President Joe Biden, was asked directly, will you prosecute Julian Assange? And Biden said, look, if we can prove that he actually took part in stealing the government documents, we're looking at it. But if we can't, if he just passively received documents, like a journalist does, then, you know, we can't indict him. And this was the argument they gave in the end, the New York Times problem, because the New York Times published the same material as WikiLeaks did. How could we indict Julian Assange and not the New York Times for the same material? They also just received that material, the New York Times, and so did Julian Assange receive that material from Chelsea Manning. They've been trying very hard to pin on Assange a hacking charge that he went in there and stole these government documents himself, that they really could not do that in the first indictment. Because, first of all, it says Chelsea Manning had legal access to everything she leaked to WikiLeaks because she had all the top security clearances that she needed to get access to it. Now, what she did to break the law was to go against her non-disclosure agreement and broke the Espionage Act, because she disseminated that to a person who wasn't authorized to have that, Julian Assange, WikiLeaks. But if you look at the Biden administration gets the Obama administration, Biden as vice president, they get a lot of credit for not, and I've given them credit in the past, for not indicting him because they realized they had this New York Times problem. But when you look back, they actually, the FBI under Obama in 2011, cooked up this scheme in Iceland where there was a cyber attack coming that was going to attack all the infrastructure of Iceland. And the FBI can come to Iceland to help protect Iceland. So the Icelandic government invited the FBI in. And when they got there, the interior minister at the time, who we interviewed on, and you were on that show, John, because I just watched it recently. You were on that show with the former interior minister of Iceland. And he explained how he began to understand that this was a fake threat that the FBI cooked up. They got there so they could frame Julian Assange and take down WikiLeaks, and they needed the cooperation of the Icelandic government. So they were pinning this cyber attack that was going to destroy Iceland's infrastructure on Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, and they got a couple of informants to try to pin it on him. When he found out about it, they kicked him out. I'm saying all this because the Biden administration tried hard to get him. They sent the FBI there to Iceland where he was living to get Julian Assange. They failed. Then it became the New York Times problem, right? They didn't have the goods. They cannot pin that he stole the documents, that he hacked. And that's the problem at that time for the Obama. Now, when the CIA came in power, Trump came to power, his CIA chief, Pompeo, the Vault 7 came out, and that incensed the CIA. And then there was also the DNC leaks, which hurt Hillary Clinton. So I believe what your question is, why didn't Biden drop this case? like he said he would have back in 2010 when they can't prove that he took part in stealing the documents. Why didn't Biden, when he became president, then do what he said that they were going to do and they did do when he was vice president? Because the CIA and the DNC, I don't think they would let him sleep one night. I think that they would be incensed. He would really have hell to pay from his own party, of which he's the head, and the CIA, because they are angry, not because of anything that they were able to charge Assange with. Nothing in the indictment is about Vault 7 or the DNC leaks. DNC leaks obviously are not classified. They're not even government documents. And the Vault 7 leaks were not classified materials either. So he can't do it, or he could if he had guts, but that's Joe Biden we're talking about here. He'd have to stand up to the CIA and the DNC and all those Hillary Clinton people, and Hillary Clinton herself probably, who likes to blame everybody but herself for losing that election. And amongst the people she blames a lot is Julian Assange.
Man, that is probably the best explanation that I have ever heard. So concise, really terrific. Joe, you and I both believe strongly that Julian Assange is a journalist. And even if people out there don't believe that, they have to acknowledge that he's a publisher. You've been a journalist at major print outlets for decades, and you're now the editor of Consortium News. What effect would a successful prosecution of Julian Assange have on the media? Should all journalists be worried about falling afoul of the Espionage Act now?
I think it's already had a big effect on journalism right now. He's been in jail for 5 years in a maximum security prison in London, here in London where I am. That's already sending a huge message out there. You publish stuff that revealed the crimes of these people, they're going to get you. And they will stretch out this extradition process as long as possible. And even if they don't get him extradited, he's paid an enormous price. He's lost 5 years of his life, plus 7 years in the embassy before that. But at least then he had visitors and he did his work. But the last 5 years he's been in this prison, he's obviously suffered psychologically and physically enormously. Most of us would be dead by now. He's an incredibly resilient human being. So he has been punished. And I think that sends a message right there to journalism. If you try to publish this, this is what we're going to do to you. And the process is the punishment right now, as is often said. Now, of course, if they get him, they're going to throw him in a maximum, in a SAMS, even though they say they won't. They'll do something like a SAMS. And he's gone forever. And so I think the message has been sent already, whether they get their hands on him or not.
Joe Loria, editor-in-chief of Consortium News, stay right there. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to speak with Joe Loria about behind-the-scenes machinations related to Julian Assange and WikiLeaks, and about why so few people in positions of authority in the United States are willing to do anything to help him.
Take a fresh look around at life. Kaleidoscopic, isn't it? A shattered reality distorted by power. Tired vision with no real opinions. Pictures designed to simplify or confuse. Who really wants a better world? And is it just for the chosen few? Fractured images presented as fact. Can you see through their illusions? Going underground can.
The Russian state-controlled narrative.
Als Teil der Sanktionen gegen Russland gehen die westlichen Länder gegen russische Auslandssender vor.
Mais écoutez, monsieur, c'est pas à vous de décider de qui est journaliste ou pas dans ce pays. On est en France, quoi. C'est pas possible.
We will ban in the European Union the Kremlin's media machine. The state-owned Russia Today and Sputnik.
RT, Sputnik, even our video agency, roughly all banned on YouTube.
Et merci à vous tous pour votre fidélité et votre soutien.
Welcome back to The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. We're joined by Joe Loria. He's the editor-in-chief of Consortium News, founded by the late Robert Perry, and he's a former journalist for the Boston Globe, the Wall Street Journal, and the Sunday Times of London. Thanks again for being with us, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe, one of the issues that hangs over the Assange case like an anvil is the fact that many Democrats believe that it was Julian who gave us Donald Trump. And many Republicans believe that Julian committed treason with the Vault 7 release, even if that latter statement doesn't make any sense because Julian's not an American citizen. How much of a problem do you think these positions have been or will continue to be for Julian's defense?
As much as he needs the public support, particularly in the United States, I think it is a problem. The reach, the influence of the mainstream media on the public, and whatever they're told and why they're told what they're told, unfortunately, is in this case hurting Julian Assange quite a lot. You could talk to Democrats now who still think that Julian is the reason why we have Donald Trump. I think Hillary Clinton believes that, but she also thinks that James Comey is the reason why, and she thinks it's the deplorable people out there in the former coal mining areas of West Virginia and Pennsylvania. So, I mean, Hillary Clinton could blame everybody except the one in the mirror. So this is a real problem that Julian is still tied not only to supposedly the... Look, he revealed in his journalism corruption by the Democratic Party and Hillary Clinton's real views about the public, about telling the truth, her relationship with big banks, and so many other things, her reasons for wanting to go to war in Libya. I mean, there was so much that was revealed about her. And that's why she may have been hurt. Because if what she said, because what was written by her campaign staffers, it's their own documents. Journalism is supposed to bring that to light. That's all he did. And to blame the messenger there is so outrageous. You know, and he said that Hillary and Trump were just equally evil and he couldn't stand either one of them, Julian Assange. One was cancer, one was gonorrhea. I think he said that was the choice. So the idea that he was going for Donald Trump, I just don't believe that. They never got any materials on Trump. Trump was an open book. He was hanging himself. We saw so many things that he would say almost every day, outrageous things. He didn't need so many leaks about Trump. Plus, he had no record in government, right? There were no government documents that could be leaked to him. And anyway, it's nonsense that Julian is blamed for that, but it does still influence public opinion to a great extent amongst Democrats, unfortunately, who think, and they also think he was colluding with Russia to do this, which is complete nonsense.
Another issue that most Americans either don't care about or have forgotten is these credible reports that Donald Trump's CIA under Mike Pompeo sought to either kill or kidnap Julian in London. I know that you're not an attorney, but why isn't this a significant issue in this case? Perhaps more importantly even, why hasn't it been a significant issue in the UK?
They tried. Assange's lawyers tried. First in the lower court hearing, and the judge would just, as I said, wrote that the CIA had reasons to worry about Julian Assange. But in this most recent decision that came down on Monday, they first tried to put it into the high court in October 2022 when the U.S. appealed the decision by the lower court judge to release Julian Assange based only on health grounds, nothing else. And the U.S. won that case because they put assurances that they would not throw him in SAMS. They would not mistreat him in prison and he wouldn't commit suicide, etc., etc. So at that point, the Assange's lawyers tried to enter, and they were not allowed to. And this time it was in their submissions saying they wanted this part of the appeal. And that was rejected as new evidence. And it was not allowed, even though this is extraordinarily significant, that the country that's asking for Assange to be extradited to is the same country whose intelligence services were spying on him in the embassy and who plotted to kidnap, maybe kill him. That same government, that's irrelevant information. I mean, this is ridiculous. It should be in the case. It would mean the case would be thrown out immediately. British courts will not embarrass the United States by agreeing to that material. They won't allow any discussion of war crimes that were revealed by WikiLeaks into the court. So they narrowed it down to this First Amendment issue. But of course, that should be talked about. And it won't be. That's one reason the courts, I think, didn't allow it. It won't be talked about. It won't be reported by the mainstream. It only reports very briefly on what's going on in the court. So it should be really important, should be known by everyone. But the courts in Britain have helped suppress that information.
The last time you were on the show, Joe, we talked about the government's case. The Justice Department's star witness is an admitted liar and a convicted pedophile named Ziggy Thor Darsan. Otherwise, the government makes a lot of accusations, but it doesn't seem to have solid evidence to back them up. I can't help but to feel optimistic about that. Do we know anything else about the witnesses that could appear against Julian if he ends up going to trial?
It's a very good question, and I cannot answer that because they can't prove that he harmed, that his releases harmed any informants, okay? That came out and was established in Chelsea Manning's court-martial. The hacking, what they have on him and Julian and Chelsea, they say he wasn't successful, and he was trying to crack a password, and that that Chelsea already had access to all these documents, and by that time, like 90% of the documents have been given to Julian Assange already by Chelsea Manning. So that doesn't work. The Icelandic story is a mess, as I alluded to earlier in this of this interview, and they really can't pin down him hacking in Iceland. So what? It's a damn good question, John. Who are the witnesses against him? I mean, there could be. I don't know. I do not know who they could bring, other than the man you just mentioned, who will testify if he comes to the United States. They will bring, I would imagine, people in, now they can't bring the CIA, people, I guess, in the Pentagon. Somebody's going to have to try to say what damage was done to national security. And I don't know how they're going to very easily do that. So I don't know who the witnesses would be. Who did he hurt? Did he damage the United States? Whoever they think was damaged in the United States, they may find a witness there inside government to testify him. That's the only thing I can think of right now.
Finally, Joe, I want to ask you about another Australian whistleblower, David McBride. David blew the whistle on Australian Special Forces murdering 39 civilians in Afghanistan. It's a long story, but after a military commission recommended that no charges be filed against him, the government filed anyway. And in mid-May, David was sentenced to nearly 6 years in prison. You spend a lot of time in Australia. Why is the Australian government united now in its support for Julian Assange, but they persecute and prosecute David McBride, a bona fide hero of human rights?
Well, I was inside the courtroom in November for the 4 days of his trial, and he had to plead guilty because they denied him a defense, essentially. What we call marshals in the United States, or agents of the Attorney General, went in and actually removed documents from the possession of the defense that they claimed was still classified. They would not allow him to issue a public interest defense. David McBride was arguing that he was following his oath to the Queen at the time, now the King, which was to serve the subjects of the King. And he did that by leaking this information, that he had a higher duty than military law and obeying orders, and that was to the public interest. And that judge was a real piece of work, that guy. He completely rejected that. He had no defense. So he had to plead guilty. And most people thought he was going to get maybe 2 years of house arrest, essentially. Instead, he threw the book at him and gave him 6 years in prison. Why did they go after him and the government is going on Julian Assange? Well, first of all, there is a kind of, it's not enshrined, I think, in the Constitution of Australia the way it is in the US, but there is a kind of separation of powers. So that's the Albanese government and the executive, the foreign ministry, the prime minister's office that have been lobbying to get Julian out, and only after enormous pressure was put on them to do so, right? It wasn't something like Albanese when he came to power, the first thing he was going to do was, you know, get Julian Assange released. No. But he did it after a lot of, he has put pressure, he has spoken to Biden directly about it. They have brought it up. It's not their number one priority. But this judge, this is totally separate. I mean, this is a judge who was doing the bidding of, this is not a military judge, by the way, was in a civilian court. He was a military man, obviously, he was a military lawyer, David McBride. But this was a civilian court, and they claimed he endangered national security, the same BS you hear in the U.S. about damaging national security. because he revealed information that ultimately led to the Australian Broadcasting Company publishing these stories about murders in Afghanistan. They almost were going to arrest Dan Oakes, who's one of the journalists at ABC, but in the end they dropped that idea because it would not be in the public interest. So Julian Assange is in the position of Dan Oakes. Julian Assange, not being the whistleblower, but the publisher, the journalist, was not in Australia prosecuted. In other words, Dan Oakes at the ABC, who got the materials from David McBride, they didn't prosecute him. So there's a consistency there. If they didn't prosecute him, the Australian Federal Police, they could argue we don't want you to prosecute Assange. But David McBride is the Chelsea Manning of the story. He's the guy who made a non-disclosure agreement and signed an oath, whatever, to the military, Australian military, so he should not have given those documents out. His argument was it was in the nation's interest, and certainly it was in the nation's interest. So that's the real answer why the government could say, don't go after Assange because he's a journalist, the way we didn't go after Dan Oakes at ABC because he's a journalist, but we're going after the leaker. And that judge was really draconian with him.
Thank you, Joe Loria, editor and journalist, for your insights. And thanks to our viewers for tuning in. Julian Assange, admittedly, is a polarizing figure. But let's cut right to the meat of the issue. You don't have to like him. You don't have to agree with him on every issue to acknowledge that he is the living and breathing example of free speech. The information that Julian exposed belongs to the American people. Americans have a right to know what their government is doing in their name. Sometimes that truth is ugly, but it's always better to speak the truth, and that is what Julian Assange has done. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Whistleblowers. I'm John Kiriakou. Please follow me on Substack at John Kiriakou, and we'll see you next time.